You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Garrett Wilson. Wow! What a catch! Touchdown, Jets! That kid's amazing. Gibson on the return. Near side. I don't see any flags. Gibson inside the 30. Hits the Jets. And he's going to go! Jets win it! Touchdown, rookie Xavier Gibson. Game over.
Allen has time. Intercepted. Sauce Gardner's got it, Allen. Tripped up. He could not get past Jermaine Johnson. Oh, look at the speed of Brees Hall. He's done it again. Brees Lightning. 62 yards for the touchdown.
And he's sacked again by Quinnen Williams. What a beast. Number 95 for the Jets.
Listen. Thank you.
This is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. Normally, it's Saturday, so you'd be hearing a mailbag episode, and we are going to do one tomorrow, but there's breaking news. So that's what you're going to hear today. The Jets have made a big trade, getting Hassan Reddick from the Philadelphia Eagles, the pass rusher who, of course, made his bones at Temple University. So, fairly local kid. We're going to get into it with our friend Nick Farrier, who covers the Jets for SI. He also covers the Eagles and is a lifelong Eagles fan. So, a unique perspective here from our friend Nick. Glad to have him on. Nick, thanks so much for jumping on with me, man.
Appreciate it. Breaking news that affects both my livelihoods. Incredible.
That's right. Your worlds have collided, as George Costanza would say.
100%.
So, Nick, let's start with the Eagles' end of this and explain why the Eagles decided to make this move. I know part of it is because they went out and got Bryce Huff. The idea is they were getting younger at the position with a guy who is on the upswing. But Hassan Reddick getting traded for a pick in 2026, that seems kind of strange, doesn't it?
Yeah, and this is – I've been saying this now for a little bit since the trade got finalized, but this is a stunning, stunning move by Howie Roseman. Not that he traded away a player like this and quintessentially his best defensive player, because he has been known to, when he needs to make a deal, he will make a deal. But to trade for a future draft pick that is only a third rounder, this is a general manager historically that we have known will fleece teams and deals that make no sense for the opposition. You look at A.J. Brown, the trade that got A.J. Brown. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, he has made some unbelievable trades that you kind of look back and say, how the hell did he pull that off? That's not the case here. This was essentially Howie was waiting for a second-round pick to come up. He was not going to move Hassan Reddick for anything less than a second-rounder, and he was waiting and waiting and waiting. And the one thing that I was expecting, and I actually wrote about it on Pro Football Network, was the longer that these trade negotiations were going to happen, the more likely it was that the Eagles would actually keep Reddick for 1 year, give him the money he wants for this particular offseason, and then allow him to be a free agent the following year. That certainly didn't happen. I wrote that article, published it at like 10 o'clock this morning. 6 hours later, he's been traded. So you look at the kind of player Reddick is, and again, this Philadelphia Eagles defense was among the worst in football last season at getting to the quarterback. But the one player who was consistently good was Hassan Reddick. And yes, they brought in Bryce Huff, which theoretically is just replacing Reddick with a younger version of himself. But he is still the most consistent edge rusher that they have had. And he instantly becomes the best Jets pass rusher that this franchise has had in decades.
Well, I don't know about in decades, but it's certainly been a while since the Jets have had a guy that was capable of getting double-digit sacks every single year. And that's what Hassan Reddick has been the last few seasons. First in Arizona, then in Carolina, and then for two seasons in Philadelphia. Like I said before, Hassan Reddick, the Temple product, he was a first-round pick, 13th overall in 2017 by the Arizona Cardinals. He's from Haddon Heights, New Jersey, so to be staying in the general area of where he was born and raised. Look at the numbers that this guy has put up the last few years. Arizona in 2020, the COVID year, 12.5. Maybe that was a fluke, right? Nope, 2021, Carolina, 11. And then with Philly, 16, and then 11. And here's what's got me excited about this one, Nick, and we'll get into all the rest of this in a bit. But Robert Saleh and Jeff Ulbrich are very good at figuring out who would be a quality fit in this defense, molding the pieces to what they want them to be. You've got Jermaine Johnson. You've got Will McDonald. Johnson was a Pro Bowl alternate this year, ended up going to the Pro Bowl. McDonald flashed a little bit in the limited playing time that he had. Hassan Reddick coming in here, he could be a real home run hitter for this defense. And as we know, the more you keep the opposing offense off the field, the less your offense has to do. So while you want to make major additions to the offense, and the Jets certainly have in free agency, and I assume they're going to try to do that in the draft, getting a big-time pass rusher here to add to Jermaine Johnson and Will McDonald in lieu of the loss of Bryce Huff is huge. And, of course, the difference between Bryce Huff and Hassan Reddick is Bryce Huff was a player that you had to commit a significant amount of long-term cash to. The Jets don't necessarily have to do that. We'll get into that in a second, too, because you have some theories as to how this could work in practice with the Jets as far as Hassan Reddick, because part of the reason the Eagles wanted to move on is not only is he getting a little older, 29, but also wants a new contract because this is going to be the last year of his deal. But the consistency on a top flight contending team going to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, arguably the best defensive player on a Super Bowl team, and then coming in here, not only does that bring that element here, but of course it also does bring another great piece in the locker room because you've got a guy who's been there and done that.
Well, and I'll say this, and I really don't think we give Reddick enough credit for just his level of consistency, but also his clutch play. I will push every Jets fan now to look at the last 2 years that he has been in Philadelphia and look at the plays that have won them games. You look at 2 years ago, the win against Jacksonville. Reddick forced two fourth quarter fumbles that resulted in turnovers that gave Philadelphia the win. He had a sack. He had two sacks in the win against the Los Angeles Rams this season to give Philadelphia the win. He is so supremely clutch in the way that he plays, and he's a three down defender. Whether we love or like Bryce Huff as a prospect, as someone who can grow, the thing that I think gets overlooked a little bit is he is improving in the run game. He is not elite in the run game. And Hassan Reddick is as elite in the run game as he is as a pass rusher. This guy's an absolute game wrecker. He instantly comes in and is the best pass rusher on the New York Jets. The most consistent, the most dominant, the guy who can get off the edge the quickest, very good against the run. This is also going to help Quinnen Williams, because Quinnen saw a lot of double teams last year. Mm-hmm. I don't see that going to be the same this year with Reddick on the outside.
I'd imagine it would help Jermaine Johnson and Will McDonald as well, as it will open things up for them. There'll be a rotation. The one thing that's interesting about this, Nick, let's get into the terms. Hassan Reddick, who has 1 year left on his deal, goes to the Jets for a third round pick that could become a second. Now, when I first read the terms of the deal, I read it as he either has to play 67.5% of the snaps or he has to get double-digit sacks. I thought, okay, he's definitely not going to play 67.5% of the snaps because that's not the way Robert Saleh uses his rotation of players. but maybe he gets the double-digit sacks. And if he does that, the deal's worth it. Well, as I looked at it again, it looks like the conditions are he has to do both. The odds of that are extremely slim. So this is almost certainly going to be a third-round pick in 2026. And Nick, we can talk about Bryce Huff too here. $51 million guaranteed at signing. And that, to me, is the big difference here, because you could be betting on Huff as an ascending pass rusher, and he is younger than Reddick, but there's that $51 million commitment over the next 3 years. And so when Huff left, you saw them go after Clowney. That didn't work out. They end up pivoting to Hassan Reddick and getting him for a third-round pick in 2026. That, if Reddick plays fantastic football in 2024, it could become a second-round pick. I don't think anybody's going to worry about that if he has anything close to the season he had 2 years ago in Philly and had 16 sacks. But the deal here, Nick, is last year the Jets sold the fan base and everybody on the fact that they were going to chase a Super Bowl. They got Aaron Rodgers. They were all in to try and go after a Super Bowl. But the plan seemed to be, don't worry, Aaron Rodgers will fix it. They didn't really make a ton of upgrades beyond that. They just went and got Aaron Rodgers and thought that would be enough. Now, we'll never know exactly what would have happened because Rodgers got hurt 4 snaps into the season. But many of us, myself included, said that was a terrible strategy because as much of an upgrade as Aaron Rodgers was over Zach Wilson and Mike White and all of that, he wasn't going to be enough by himself to elevate the Jets to that level. Well, the Jets decided this year they were going to act like a team that actually was going to try to go all in. Now, will it work? We'll see. But they went out, they got Morgan Moses, a very good right tackle who is on a 1 year commitment. Tyron Smith, one of the best left tackles of all time. Health issues, sure, but he was a second team All Pro last year, 1 year commitment. Mike Williams, one of the better receivers in the league, and certainly a guy that should be a perfect fit with Rodgers, loving to throw the ball downfield for 50-50 shots. He's on a 1 year commitment. Obviously, there's some durability issues there too, but another guy who is a legit playmaker when he's healthy. And then now they go out and get Hassan Reddick, also on a 1 year commitment. Say what you want to about the Jets. Again, it may not work, but they are absolutely giving it their all here and pushing their chips in the middle of the table. It's something that makes sense because Rodgers is here and you have the short window, but also, of course, Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh know they got to win now or there will be no 2025 for them anyway.
Exactly. And this is kind of why the deal was made in the first place. They're not going to see this conditional pick if it blows up in their face anyway. So this is quite frankly, we have nothing to lose. Let's get the top available pass rusher, you know, available on the market via trade or free agency. And again, like I say, Huff is really good. Reddick is a better player right now, 100%. And the one thing that'll be interesting when you look at the contracts, and this is the decision that's going to have to be made with Joe Douglas and the Jets, but now that you have Reddick, you now inherit the Eagles' problem with him as a pass rusher. And it's the fact that he only carries about $14 million cap hit. That number must go up. That is the reason why Reddick wanted a new deal in the first place. He wanted to be paid like a top five pass rusher that he is in the league. Philadelphia was not going to allow that to happen, so they traded him to the Jets. The Jets don't have the cap space to do that. So there's a couple of ways that they can do this that will allow Reddick to get the money he wants. They could either give him the long-term deal that he's looking for by also doing so in giving him the salary bonus that he could at least cover the expenses of a top five edge rusher, or they restructure this one-year deal, essentially put most of the cap hit into a signing bonus, give him, I don't know, 10, 15 million more, whatever it is that he wants, a little bit extra so that way it entices him to play this season. But from what I hear right now from the Jets camp, very simply, it's that this organization is going all in to win because none of them might not be here. None of them may be here next year at this time in the offseason. So you might as well go all in with some of these great players. You add Pro Bowlers like Morgan Moses, Tyron Smith, Mike Williams, and now Hassan Reddick. You're not just building a team that can compete in the AFC East. You're building a team that can compete with the Chiefs for supremacy in the AFC.
The AFC East alone is going to be an uphill battle. You've got the Dolphins, a really good team. with one of the ascending young coaches, and say what you want to about Tua, but he's a good quarterback and he's obviously got great weapons there. Their defense started to play a lot better toward the end of last season. The Bills, we know what they're capable of. They've got arguably the second most important player in the NFL with Josh Allen, a guy who can carry an offense on any given day. One of the few players in the league that can do that. So the AFC East alone was going to be tough, let alone going after the Kansas City Chiefs. These are moves that are designed to help the Jets get to that level that they claimed they wanted to be at last year before Aaron Rodgers went out 4 plays into the season. And I will say this, for whatever anybody wants to say about Woody Johnson, if the Jets decide to go the route that you were talking about with the signing bonus, where they convert the money to cash, and that way the cap hit is extremely low this year, Reddick gets his money, and then they can figure out what they want to do at the end of the season, that's literally Woody Johnson putting his money where his mouth is, right?
Yeah, 100%. This is him going, okay, I know there were reports and some rumors last year that I wasn't willing to spend more on the roster when Aaron went down for a backup quarterback. This is him saying, you know what? That's not going to happen again. We are doing everything in our power to build a winner right away. And again, you look at the value here. Look at the value of the player now versus the pick that they gave up. This isn't a 2024 or 2025 third rounder that could become a second. This is in 2026. This is essentially three drafts from now. Incredible value for a player of Reddick's stature. Yes, Reddick may not be a Jet by the time this pick is seen by Philadelphia, but the impact that he could leave on the team in 2024 alone is going to be much bigger than anything, any value that the Eagles could be looking for with the extra cap space that they spend and they have now that they've traded away Reddick. This is a slam dunk move for New York, and this is a move that Philadelphia is looking and saying, if this is the best that we could do, why didn't we just give Reddick the money that he was looking for this year and allow him to hit free agency the following year?
Well, theoretically, the Jets could do that too, couldn't they? They could just have him play it out on a one-year deal, like you said, to lower the cap hit, because they're going to have to do that based on the amount of money that they have available. They still have to probably rework some contracts like Quinn and Williams, for example, to get to that point, but they can convert a lot of this to cash, and then they can make that decision at the end of the year. If for some reason they feel like it's a bad marriage, it doesn't work out for them, it doesn't work out for Hassan Reddick, everybody walks away at the end of the season, Reddick goes to another team. If it does work out, they try to work out a long-term deal, and if they don't want to lose him, they could franchise tag him and then figure it out from there. But this at least gives them Hassan Reddick for 2024 and the ability to possibly keep him beyond that. As they like to say in the real estate or car business, they're leasing with the option to buy, I suppose.
And again, when we talk about that car, 100%, you're not buying, you know, a Subaru here. You're buying a Maserati ready to go right away that can produce in all three levels. And, you know, the Jets want to be able to use their edge rushers in waves. And the interesting thing to me is how Reddick is going to handle that. He's a three down player. He played, like I said, 70% of the snaps for Philadelphia last year on defense. That number is going to drop significantly. Is he still the same impactful player? That's the only question I think the Jets are going to have. But ultimately, the fact that he's a better run defender, the fact that he is as good, if not better than Huff, as a edge rushing game wrecker, this is a no-brainer. I mean, essentially what it is Philadelphia gets a conditional third and Bryce Huff and for Hassan Reddick in a trade, essentially, because the contracts are relatively the same. Obviously, Reddick needs to have his deal restructured. I know you mentioned this earlier, Scott, but this is essentially a trade in the works for the last 2 months. With Huff going to Philadelphia as well. And there are more questions on the Eagles side than there are the Jets. With the Eagles, it's, okay, well, if Huff can be like Reddick, that's great. You give him the money and it's completely worth it. If he can't, though, you've given away your best defensive player for a player that is not as good. That's a significant gamble by Howie Roseman and that front office.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
No durability questions here with Hassan Reddick. He hasn't missed a game in his entire career. 16, 16, 16, 16, 16, 17, 17. That's the game count for Hassan Reddick. So this is a guy that has a history of staying healthy and making a major impact in games. Again, his big breakout season was in 2020 in Arizona, the COVID year. And then after that, that year in Carolina, and then he goes to Philly. He has had, over the last four seasons, a grand total, and this is me doing math on the fly, so bear with me here, but he has a grand total of over 50 sacks in the last four seasons. So he's averaging 12 and a half sacks a year the last 4 years. The last Jet to even come close to that was John Abraham. Nick, you said before decades, stretching it a tiny bit, but it is almost two decades now since the Jets had a pass rusher who had that type of sack production on a regular basis. So a big move here for the Jets. And like I said, Nick, say what you want to. It may work. It may not. And there are obviously downsides to the plan in a variety of ways. The durability of some of these guys, they may not stay healthy. We'll have to see. Some of these guys may fall off a little bit because they're getting older. But as far as trying to go all in 2024, last year, flawed strategy. They didn't really make that push. This year, they're not making the same mistake. And it's going to be fascinating to see how this acquisition and the other ones in free agency affect what the Jets do in the NFL draft. Because I think the thought before this was, yeah, the Jets probably aren't picking a pass rusher in the first round, but it's still possible because we know they really want one. Maybe they trade down and grab a pass rusher. There was a thought that perhaps the Jets had to take a tackle in the first round. Now, maybe they do, maybe they don't, because they filled those needs for the immediate future, meaning 2024. Now, you want to have depth, obviously, and maybe that's a discussion that comes with that 10th overall pick. If there's a tackle on the board that you think you just have to get because he's so much better than everybody else, so maybe they still pick a tackle. At wide receiver, they still need a wide receiver, but they need one less than they did before they got Mike Williams. At tight end, yeah, they could absolutely use a tight end. We know that they almost picked Michael Mayer last year at number 15 overall, but they do have Tyler Conklin, who's a solid tight end. So what the Jets have done this offseason is plugged as many holes as they could heading into the draft, so it frees them up to pick the player that they really think can help them the most in 2024, but also, of course, heading into the future beyond that, because you're not just picking for 2024, but certainly you want to pick a guy who's going to help in 2024. And now they have a variety of different areas they can go in, whereas heading into free agency, it looked like they were going to be put into a box going into the draft, and that's not the case anymore.
Yeah, and it really comes back to this. The Jets are all in on 2024, and a essentially a pick that the executive team may not see in 3 years. That is 100% worthwhile of a move to bring in a player like Hassan Reddick. Reddick was Philadelphia's best defender over the last two seasons. He walks in as the Jets' probably third best defender, but he is unequivocally their best edge pass rusher. And he is so complete, far more complete than a player than Bryce Huff is. And that essentially is why this team is significantly better now than it was 24 hours ago. If they brought in a guy like Bud Dupree or even Jadeveon Clowney, that's solid value. That's a good stuff. You don't have to give draft picks. But they're not the player that Hassan Reddick is. Hassan Reddick is a Pro Bowl caliber player that is just an absolute game wrecker. Watch the tape and you will see a guy who is unequivocally a top edge rusher in this league that isn't being paid like one. He is going to be a tremendous asset for this defense.
Going to be a lot of fun to watch him in the Jets defense with Robert Saleh and Jeff Ulbrich calling the shots. Will he be only the second Jets edge rusher to get double-digit sacks in the last decade? Of course, the other one being Bryce Huff last year. Will he also get to double-digit sacks for the fifth season in a row? And is there any way that he's going to do that and get to the 67.5% of the snaps? I tend to think that's unlikely because, as we said, Nick, the way that the rotation works with the Jets means that they're probably fairly confident that this is going to be a third-round pick. But if Hassan Reddick is playing so well that he has double-digit sacks and he plays over 67.5% of the snaps, still hard to complain about a pick that, as you said, the current management team may never get to use. And that is a couple of drafts away anyway, when the Jets are telling you right now that they're trying to go all in and attempt to win in 2024. They've got Aaron Rodgers in 2024. They may or may not have him in 2025. So they've got to make the absolute best of every year they get with him. And this move was another one that shows you that they are trying to do that. Nick Faria, covering the Jets for SI. Also, of course, covering the Eagles. So he is perfectly suited to talk about the acquisition that the Jets just made, getting Hassan Reddick from the Philadelphia Eagles. Nick, thank you so much for coming on to talk about this breaking news. Really appreciate it. For everybody that wants to read your work over at SI, follow you on social media, I'm sure you're going to have plenty up about this Hassan Reddick trade from the Eagles to the Jets from both ends of it, because you report on both teams.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But I'll have plenty of stuff coming on from Pro Football Network and Sports Illustrated. All my pieces are published on Twitter at Nick_Faria1720. Definitely appreciate all you guys for jumping on. Appreciate coming on again, Scott, to talk about this stuff.
Make sure you follow Nick on Twitter, read his work over at SI, and be sure to check out everything we're doing at playlikeajet.com and give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and playlikeajet.com.